Hey bitches, here's how it is. This bitch is back. Dudes, I caught me some fun waves. Oh my God, the water warmed up. Out there with a bunch of people that I know, a lot of friends, even new people that I didn't know. Everybody's telling me, Susie, go here, get this, outside, outside. Either they knew I was desperate or they thought I was the king shit. I'm taking the king shit thing. I'm taking that title today, bitches. I'm taking the king shit. Oh my God. Stoke frickin' City. I had it. I needed it. Oh God. Thanks everybody for hanging with me. Have a great day.
This bitch is back.
This bitch is back.
Stoke City, bitch.
This bitch is back.
Deaths of Santa Cruz.
Minute Midlife Surfer podcast listener, how the heck are you? My name is Joe Rogan, filling in for Rachel Maddow on the Tucker Carlson Show. And I appreciate you joining me.
Dub City, bitch.
You know me. My name is Jeff. I'm a small wave lover. I'm a Craigslist scroller. And I host a surf podcast. I think this is episode 45, and I'm impressed with myself that we made it this far, actually. I've thought about quitting doing this many times. It doesn't make any money. There are probably more, important things I should be doing with work or with my kids or with my family or around the house. But this is a hobby. And you know, I only get to surf about once a week. Maybe even it's down to like maybe I get to surf one half surf session a week. Basically, right? So like once every 2 weeks or something these days for some reason. And in a way, this fills my surfing muse. And I know many of you feel the same. You don't get to get out to the water as much as possible. I know we have some landlocked surfers and you get out once a month. I don't know how the hell you do that because I need reps just to be relevant out there in the water. But anyway, I just want to say thank you for joining me. I've made a lot of cool friends with this podcast, along with Instagram. I'm not a big Instagram fan. I find it to be a time suck and a time waster. Have you ever just like, you know, you're driving and you pull over and you're about to get out of the car and then you pick up your phone and you're like a zombie. You just hit that Instagram and then you start scrolling. And then 3 or 4 minutes later, you're like, what the hell am I doing? I close it and then I delete the app. When I have those moments, often after I post an episode, I'll put it out there to I have a huge Instagram following of about 402, and I'll post it to let people know I have a new pod up, and then I'll just straight up delete the app, and that only lasts for like a week before I get it back again because I make connections with people and I check my messages, and you guys reach out to me and I reach out to you, and it's cool. Speaking of Instagram, I opened this show with a clip from our friend Surfer Susie. Not for nothing. She was on an episode, 10 episodes ago. I just get a kick out of her, and I figured you'd enjoy her too. She's a gal down in, she surfs a spot down in Santa Barbara area, Carpinteria, and I just like her posts, and I like her spirit. I like the cut of her jib, so I just wanted to play that because I thought that'd be a funny way to start off this podcast. And also, you may notice a different song. It's not Tortoise, and it's not Playboi Carti. Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here? No, this is by Patrick Luttrell. This is called Surfing Vampires. Patrick's down in Morro Bay. He's been sending me his whole quiver of music. And talk about a character, right? This guy's a true artist. I think he's even, in fact, getting a board shaped by Timber Surf Co. So he was generous enough to offer his music for the podcast. So I thought, what the hell? I like that tune that he sent me. And I figured I'd include it on this episode. So thank you, Patrick, for that. I mentioned Timber Surf Co. Timber Surf Co. is the presenting sponsor of this podcast. We're getting big time, right? Anyway, Ryan Lynch, good man. You know, for the sake of full disclosure, he's a friend of mine. I am totally biased toward him. He's smart as shit. He's a new daddy. He's a good husband. I got to surf with him a couple weeks ago. I didn't kook it up too bad or embarrass myself, I don't think. If I did, he certainly didn't tell me. He's a good surfer. Anyway, he's also a good shaper. Like if you went to timbersurfco.com right now, you'd see these 3-piece cork traction pads. Those are pretty cool. You know, if you don't have enough money for a new custom board, but you want to support someone from this podcast, you know, go order a traction pad from this guy. He also makes boogie boards. When I first met him last year, I had him over to my house and we sat in the backyard. We were balls deep in the pandemic and we were masked up and 6 feet. He brought a bunch of different boards over, including this boogie board, which I gotta say, I want to get a boogie board shaped by him for my kids. He makes a beautiful boogie board, and I know he used styrofoam from one of those cheap Costco packages with a television in it. You know, you can get a decent I can't lie, you can get a decent TV from Costco for like $400 now, $300. I remember back when I spent $1,200 on my Samsung or something in 2005. But anyway, it has a lot of wasteful packaging and a lot of wasteful styrofoam. Ryan Lynch is a guy who puts his money where his ethics are. He puts his work where his ethics are, if that makes sense. He's not out for a quick buck. He's trying to make the world a better place through surfboards. And in fact, I'm going to just read off the website the mission statement: high performance, eco-friendly wooden surfboards and surf accessories. Check out those traction pads to promote industry transition towards oceanic preservation. They use reclaimed and bio-based materials. And when he says reclaimed, he's talking reclaimed lumber, redwood from felled trees. Felled or fallen? I don't know. I sound more esoteric when I say felled. Felled trees from the Santa Cruz Mountains. He wants to create a sustainable product which takes a stand on eliminating plastic and foam from our oceans. Who the hell can argue with that? Every time I go in his shop, he did a couple ding repairs for me lately. I met another new gentleman. He's got a gentleman named Brian working there. He had another guy doing, I don't know, glassing or ding repair. I was in there a month ago. He's got another new face in there. His shop is expanding. The guy's on the move. This is a cool brand to get behind. In addition to the traction pads and the surfboards, of course, he also does DIY kits for wooden surfboards. If you ever want to build a surfboard, a wooden surfboard, he will send you a DIY kit, which is, check it out, timbersurfco.com. I have one of his Splinter Series custom shapes, which is a beautiful board. It is a Mini Simmons, a 6.0 Mini Simmons. It's just a twin fin. I've had some great rides on it. I'm using my Brad Gerlach bottom turn techniques. And while I'm not throwing spray or impressing anybody, I'm getting down the line pretty quick on it. I feel like a hotshot shortboarder, but I'm cheating because I got this really user-friendly Mini Simmons. So anyway, timbersurfco.com. Please check them out. Okay, you can donate to the show, midlifesurfer.com. Rick, I see you out there, buddy boy. You sent us $5, and I really appreciate it. $2.50 of that's going to the great Adam Montiel. Adam produces this show. He's based in San Luis Obispo. I'm based in Santa Cruz. I blab into my iPhone, and then I email it to him. And he makes it sound nice and clean.
Stoke City, bitch.
Sends it back my way, and then we post it for your listening pleasure, of course. Let's see. 15,216 downloads. I humbly present to you 15,216 downloads. That's about 340 listens an episode. It's consistently grown, organically grown. I haven't seen a huge spike. I've just seen it tick upward. 5, 6, 7% every episode. I'm getting more listeners. So thank you for joining me. And one listener that I'm so flattered, he sent me a book, Andy Keenan, Banyan Woodwork. He's out of North Cornwall in the UK. We've gone back and forth on Instagram. Really nice guy. He tells me every time he hears,
"Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?"
That's the Playboy Cardi song I open my podcast with every now and then. He says it brings a smile to his face. He wrote me a sweet note, and he sent me a book. He sent me a book. It's called Gray Skies, Green Waves, A Surfer's Journey Around the UK and Ireland, written by Tom Anderson. I mean, hot damn, that is some thoughtful stuff. In addition, he sent me a couple stickers for the boys, The Cabin, Bude, Cornwall. So The Cabin is, a one-man surf shop, Andy was telling me. And they, in fact, sell Banyan surfboards. Banyan surfboards. I think it's called Banyan. Let me double-check my work here. Yeah, Banyan Woodwork, I mean to say. Kind of not unlike Ryan Lynch's focus with wooden surf technology. Andy shapes wooden surfboards, and he sells them out of The Cabin. And you can check out Banyan Woodwork on Instagram to see more about his product. And Andy, I just wanted to say on this podcast, thank you so much. It's absolutely flattering. I'm not worthy, and I will certainly be reading this book shortly. Whew. I'm talking fast. My heart's still racing. You know, my wife will work a couple times a week, and I'm so disappointed with myself this morning, because it's my responsibility to get the kids off to school. Both of them slept in like some lazy asses. They're 8 and 5, and I don't like waking them up because I know sleep is really healthy for their developing brains. I have two boys, second grade and preschool respectively. And Joe got up a little bit earlier in time, but by the time he woke up, it was like straight to the breakfast table, scarf it down, get your oatmeal in, and then you need to get dressed, and we need to roll, brother. It's like 7:45 already. Deadline is 8:30 a.m. Daniel's still sleeping. And I feel bad because, like, I'm a very on-time kind of guy, but I could see that anxiety that I have about being on time bleeding through to my oldest son. And so now he has it, constantly checking the clock. Daddy, you got to wake Daniel up right now. I go, all right, dude, you know, open his door. You wake him up. I'm brushing my teeth and kind of hustling, too, to get out of the house myself. And he gets in there, and then sure enough, Daniel's just screaming at him because Joe just barges in and turns the lights on. Daniel, get up! Daniel's screaming at him, and anyway, I started the morning off so peacefully. I got up early. I did a little yoga. I do like a little 10-minute yoga in the morning. It's just, it's yoga with Adrienne on YouTube. So much good stuff on YouTube. Then after that, I did a little 15-minute Flash 15 and Peloton. Some free weights and burpees and stuff like that. And I had some quiet time. I read 5 pages out of a book, had my coffee, felt good. Life was peaceful. I had had the intention to have a nice, positive morning with these kids. But lo and behold, school starts in 15 minutes and Daniel hasn't even brushed his damn teeth yet. Joe's ready to go. He's anxious. Wear the masks. You know, we got to wear masks in class. And I'm just hustling, hustling. It's, get in the car. Joe, you're good. Daniel, get in the car. Buckle up right now. Daniel runs out front, you know, sprints circles around our front lawn while I got the car going. Joe doesn't want to be late. I don't want Joe to be late. Daniel's in preschool. I don't give a shit if he's late, but Joe's in second grade and the kid wants to be on time. So anyway, long and short of it is we made it just in time, 8:29 a.m. And I really regret all the yelling and screaming and prodding I did to get the kids in the car because I dropped them off and it's like, just leave with a bad taste in my mouth. Like, dadgummit, man. I had a nice, peaceful morning, and now I drop my kids off in a stressful mood. I don't want to leave them with that. When I feel guilty, I'm in the car, I'm coming back. And anyway, I want to calm down. I want you to enjoy this nice interview I have coming up. Eggnog Surfboards, Kyle Shellhammer. Shellhammer? I should have double-checked how to pronounce his name. I'm going to say Kyle Shellhammer. Kyle's a cool dude, and this guy is core. He's out of Coos Bay, Oregon, to start. He's lived in many different places, as described in the forthcoming interview. He's so much more core than me. I feel like a kook talking to him. I mean, he names historical figures and people in the industry that I don't even know what the fuck he's talking about. Of course, he mentions, like, you know, George Greeno and Duke, and I know those guys, right? But many of those names I don't, and yeah, a better interviewer would have asked him better questions, but that's okay. He's a sweet guy, and after the pod, he even sent me a video tour of his place. This conversation goes in many directions, as you're going to listen to. I, of course, talk over him. You know, it's painful to listen to on my end, listening back to these, so I'm learning as I go. The lesson is just shut up and wait for some silence before you respond to something, because oftentimes I find the guest has more to say. But again, you know, hey, I'm only 45 episodes deep on a professional podcast, so bear with me on that, all right? And plus, when you do it via Zoom, you lose a little bit of human interaction, and that results in me talking over somebody. Anyway, Kyle, you're a good man. Eggnog Surfboards. Oh, by the way, he says if he gets 4 orders, I get a board for free. So you guys, you want to hook me up. Forget the donations. Go order a damn board. Anyway. All right, let's do it. Eggnog Surfboards. Kyle Shellhammer.
Stoke City, bitch.
There you are.
Yeah, man.
Hey. How you doing, Kyle?
Yeah, buddy. Good. Yeah.
Good. Good.
I'm getting in the office now.
All right. Settle in.
I got one in the oven. I'm trying to burn them all.
Yeah. What are you cooking right now?
Oh, Slater Designs board. Just trying to get rid of them. Anytime I can.
So when you're cooking it, are you, does that mean that the resin's flashing? You have a ding repair there, or what are you doing with it?
No, they're just garbage. So I try to burn them all.
Oh, you just try to burn them?
Yeah. But it's fire season, so you can't burn it outside right now.
Right.
Yeah, I'm quite dark, aren't I?
What's that? Yeah, you are a little dark. That's all right, though.
Let's see if I can. There we go.
That's beautiful. I prefer to see your handsome mug. Right on. How are you doing today, man?
Oh, you know, just chilling, doing my thing.
I follow you on Instagram, and you were kind enough to even make a post regarding my podcast with Jonathan Wayne Friedman. I wanted to personally thank you for that.
Yeah, no worries.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a legend. I'm trying to get him on a eggnog here soon. I'm not really making that many boards lately because I'm going to have a beer, if you don't mind.
Oh, please. Cheers. I'm going to have a water.
Oh, shoots.
Right on. Salud.
Mm.
What's your beer of choice? What do you like these days?
Well, I'll give a big shout out to Sweet As Good Life. Good Life Brewing Company, Sweet As Pacific Ale. Mm. It is delicious.
Yeah.
It's turned bad because of the pandemic, whatever you want to call it. But yeah.
Were they closed down because of the pandemic? Oh.
I just drink more now.
Oh, you do? Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. I struggle with that. Not in like an alcoholic sense, but in a, like for example, like my wife does Peloton, but they have these little, the app is nice on Peloton. I just do the workouts with the weights, and then you'll do like 15 minutes. Like you'll get a badass workout in, but I swear to God, the whole time I'm doing, I just can't wait to get into my fridge and open up a Sierra Nevada. So I'll mix the protein drink with the Sierra.
Exactly how I am. I try to do stuff so I can reward myself with the beer.
That's precisely right. Yeah. You got a single fin life hat right there. So I assume,
you know, Daniel Graham.
No, I don't.
Oh, you should do a podcast with that character. He's pretty hilarious. He's the
Daniel Graham. Cool.
Yeah.
I like me a single fin. I think that's my preferred modus operandi when I surf.
Well, I found out just not too long ago that you can put more than one fin on a board. So I've been kind of enjoying the twin fin life lately.
Yeah.
I keep boards in here. So I was going to show you like a little bit that's going on. Cool. And I don't know if you have like prep questions or how it goes, but I was going to show you a little bit of, so like there's the death of surfing right in there, that Slater Designs.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So you're literally melt. I want to get back to that real quick.
I'm not really melting it. It's just a, statement. And it sucks because I've met Kelly a few times and he's a super cool guy.
Yeah.
It's not anything against that. It's just what that has done to the industry because material costs, inflation with materials and like oil and like everything, all that stuff comes from oil, you know?
Yep.
And
petroleum.
So it's not. People now want the same prices they did when I started shaving 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the material cost has gone up like so much that I literally have to, this is like what I do to make money now. Like I'm a contractor.
Right.
You know, because that it's impossible to get what, like I should, like a shortboard should cost like, what I mean, I don't know, like $9 to $1,000 now.
Right.
But they can go buy those things for like $650 or something. Like
absolutely. That. Yeah. I hear you. And there's
the
people.
Cost is nothing. It's like $60. Right.
Right.
You know, including labor.
Like, yeah. And then Firewire does a consignment program too, I think, with the big retailers too. So they can afford to get their product out there on the floor. As opposed to you, where you got to make it on spec, more or less, place it in a shop. But I assume you do mostly custom builds for customers.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I basically make like a lot of boards for myself. Mm-hmm. And then I surf. And then like people are like, oh shit, I want one of those. Is this PG or can I swear?
You could swear. We could cuss all the fuck you want.
Fuck yeah. Fuck. Yes. No. All right.
I know. Oh, by the way, sorry to cut you off. I got some topics I want to touch on, but
I'm all ears, man.
Any tangent, any way you want to go with this, I'm all ears.
I don't think 20 minutes is going to be enough time, to be honest.
Fair enough. Good, because I need content. All right, good. You're going to make my life easy. But I'm still confused about what's going on. It looks like, just for listeners, because I don't have any visuals to this aside from an occasional Instagram post, which I'm not that good at. But you have a Firewire board. That looks to be an Asana of some sort, or one of those kind of like CNC machines for guitars or something. What's going on with that?
Funny story. My dad is a luthier and makes guitars.
Oh, God bless him.
He makes ukuleles too. And this is his company. Oh,
what's the company called? Boulder Creek.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. That's how I got, I think that's kind of how it all happened.
Here, check this out. I got a, my father is not a luthier, but I play some ook myself along with, I got my acoustic is a Taylor out of San Diego. Maybe the fire wire of acoustics.
You have the brass string on there too. Like,
oh yeah. The one. See what I got on this one. Yeah. This one's
I like it when it has the one brass string. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
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 That's sick.
I could play, Under the Sea to my kids. It's a good little song. Hey, okay. By the way, Boulder Creek is near Santa Cruz, where I am, and you're up in Coos Bay,
yeah,
Oregon.
So I lived in Santa Cruz. My dad lived in Boulder Creek for a long time, and then he moved to San Jose, kind of. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he lived like in, it's like right off the 17, but.
Los Gatos, Campbell.
Yeah, yeah, Los Gatos. And then he ended up living all the way in Morgan Hill at the
yeah.
end. Now he lives in Palm Springs. And I don't even talk to the guy really anymore. So
I see. Well, you've kicked around then, because we kind of went back and forth on Instagram, and I learned that are you originally from Santa Barbara?
I finished high school there. I'm not originally from there. No, I was born in Apple Valley, like by Big Bear.
Okay. Yep.
And then I spent summers in San Diego with my aunt and uncle, Kim and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But I emancipated my parents when I was like 16.
Is that right?
Yeah. So there's a crazy story. I got arrested for basically getting my stepdad, he broke my jaw, and I ran away, and I got arrested, and I got put in this like military school in South Dakota, in Custer, South Dakota. And then my grandparents came and took me away from them and brought me back to California. And then, I lived in Marina Del Rey so my dad was living at that time. Mm-hmm. And then my brother just got out of the Navy. He was a Navy SEAL, and he moved up to CARP. Like, he was like barely a SEAL. Like, he got like, some happened. I don't even know the whole story, but he was like in, and then he was like out, and then he was living in Santa Barbara in Carpinteria.
Yep. And
so I went there and finished high school, but I told all my friends for years that I was 18. And so it was funny. I caught up with a friend while I was just on my Mexico trip in the end of May, when it was just pumping. And he was my neighbor, actually. And he was like, "Oh, dude, I thought you were 18 the whole time." He thought I was older than him. And, I'm hanging out with him, but I couldn't tell him because, like, people were like,
right,
like, you know, legal shit could get involved, because I never really legally did anything, you know.
Right.
Out, and like, and I was at a self-paced school, and I was working at a bagel store in like the middle of the night, like doing the bagel thing.
Yeah.
And the teacher found out that I was coming to school and doing that. And she's like, "Dude, you could just do this at home." Mm-hmm. And so I finished high school in Carpinteria, went to college there. And yeah, so that's kind of like where I'm from. I'm not from CARP, but I have lifelong friends from there, and that's where I finished high school.
Right.
That's where my heart's at. I love it. So,
so you're up in, is it Coos Bay, Oregon?
Yeah.
I don't know a damn thing about Oregon or the surf scene up there. How'd you end up there? And just tell me
purpose, my friend.
Yeah. All right, good. Well, we don't want to blow up your spot.
It's the most localized place I've ever been. Like,
is that right?
When the first COVID thing hit, there was all these sprinter vans up here, and holy shit, man, it got hairy quick.
Yeah, I imagine. There's a lot of sprinter vans in Santa Cruz now too, Pleasure Point. What kind of vape is that? What flavor is it?
CBD.
Oh, good man. Cool.
Yeah. I have Asperger's. I have on the spectrum, but anxiety, it helps with that, and all my injuries. I don't know. And I quit chewing tobacco. I chewed tobacco for like 20 years or something.
Yeah. What was your brand of chewing tobacco?
Grizzly.
Oh, hell yeah. I like me some Kodiak, but I settled for Grizzly.
So I was on Kodiak before, and then Grizzly came out, and they used to give you that little knife with it. Like, I don't know if you're
old. I don't.
No. How old are you? You're probably.
Well, I think I'm older than you. I'm 40.
Oh, I'm 42. I'll be 40 in December, actually.
All right. Cool.
So we're class, 99?
Exactly.
That's when I graduated. Yeah. I skipped fourth grade. But that's another story. So let's get into some real shit with the surf industry. Or if you have loaded questions, like you want a real answer from somebody that's going to tell you the truth and not beat around the bush, because I have a lot of things to say about what's going on with surfing, shapers for one,
right.
The whole mentality of like, the bully in the water, like,
yeah,
shit is coming into shaping as well. And I dip like a friend of mine, like was a good friend of mine, and fucking he went off saying like, bro, you shape like shit or something, like you're not quality. And I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to do anything. I call them vehicles of happiness. Like they're literally like one of the logos on my board, you know?
Right. And
I don't give a shit. Like I ain't trying to be the next Al Merrick, bro. You know what
right.
I mean? Like
right.
I literally do it because I like to make boards for my friends that have a good fucking time on them.
Right.
And like, so it's getting really serious. Well, what's happening? I'm gonna answer my own fucking question. How about that?
Do it.
Yeah, I'm that crazy. So
I like it. So
what's happening is because all the stress with all these overseas boards and shit and like
right.
and the material costs is so much and like the profit margin's getting smaller and smaller and then
right.
it's getting higher and higher to get and all these permits that you have to get for like, you know, to do manufacturing, like
right.
all the stuff with like the hazard waste and all that.
Yep.
I mean, there's so much, like that's one of the things like I started shaping to get in Oregon, you know, it's like, I have an acre of land and a huge shop and I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
Know? Right. But in like Santa Barbara or Hawaii or San Diego, like it's a nightmare. If you want to make like a buck, you got to just like do it in your backyard or something.
Yeah.
Like you got to like break the rule a little bit.
Right.
You go legal, like tax, you want to be a shaper and get taxed, you better be pumping out. You better have a glasser with like 20 glassers in it in a computer shape. That's
all. Yeah. You got to pop out some volume basically.
Yeah. So there's nothing happening anymore. Like when George Greeno was still in Santa Barbara, when like Bob Duncan, like they were like my idols when I was a kid in Santa Barbara, I'd go to like the Wilderness Bowl and like back then, just 20 years ago, 22 years ago, whatever, it was like a whole different scene. Like people could make money. Like my buddy Damian Aquino and Olaf Lang, like they were making boards, making a good living. We all lived in a container together. That's how we all kind of started together. And we were making a living. And now it's like, you can't, like, unless you got rich parents or like some kind of like financial backing and
right.
computer shape, like you can't, you have to make so many boards. And so you can't, like hand shaping's like a dying art. Like
right.
it's appreciated for sure.
Yeah.
But it, like try to go order a hand shape board right now. See how long
right.
it's gonna take, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you can just go to the computer guy and it'll be like, boop, send it to the glasser.
Right.
It's just the whole industry's fucked.
Yeah, it seems that way. And it sucks because it seems like you guys, it's all like a self-inflicted wound. Mm-hmm. You know, I listen to much better surf podcasts than this one, like the Boardroom Show or Surf Splendor. I thought this
is the best one, dude.
Yeah, this is the fastest growing in North America and worldwide. But yeah, you hear that. And yeah, I can go get a fire wire for $800 over at the Billabong right now. I can order a custom, like say from, you know, let's say Timber Surf Co. down here, right? He does these sustainable, you know, wood boards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he'll charge me $1,000, but it's not enough. And it's worth more. Then you see, you know, Travis Reynolds down here, right? Like a board of his will cost you $1,400. I think he's pricing it right. You know, it's like, why right. can't you guys just all raise your fucking prices at the same time?
We have a guy up here, Tilly, man. If you've ever heard of Tilly. Have you heard of his boards?
No, I've just heard of the Tilly's shops in the malls nationwide.
No. This guy, he's a paper up here in Port Orford. And I mean, his boards are beautiful, dude. Like,
yeah.
Put my boards to shame. I mean, they're not necessarily like the functioning equipment, but he does like the wood laminate, like, and like, they're just pieces of art. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I mean, he can't, I mean, he makes some money, but it's like, dude, if he was around 25 years ago doing that, the guy would be rich, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But because of material costs and all that, it's just like, you know.
Let's go back to this though. You were talking about bullying in the water, localism, and then bullying in the shaping community too. Shed some light on what you're referencing.
I'll tell you straight up right now, and I'll tell everybody: surfers are fucking kooks. Okay. And I've been a part of it. Like I'm basically I've never had problems, but fucking surfers are the biggest kooks when it comes to like territorial shit. Like you don't know. Like they're yapping their mouths and you don't know. Like this guy could be a kook in the water, but he might be a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He might be a freaking Muay Thai fighter, like here for a fight. Like, you don't know. He could be your boss. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's just stupid. And yeah, I mean, a lot more people are surfing now, you know, and it's hard to escape the crowds, especially down south, you know what I'm saying? But up here, like we're pretty blessed, but it's funny because it's worse up here. And it's like, there's so many times I've showed up to one of our spots and there's nobody there except like men in gray suits, you know, and you're just, and you're like, damn, I wish there were people here. I wish those fucking guys had talked so much shit to all those guys.
Yeah, you were so under-regulated. Like, no, I agree.
Coast Guard guys. And it's like, dude, we get the Coast Guard guys. They're the ones that save our ass when I'm out fishing or if my boat goes down and like, or save your ass. They run and they'll tell you if there's a shark. They fly by. Like, you know, it's like, who cares? Like, really burn them. Don't talk shit and threaten them. And like, there was an incident where like, there was talks about guns and shit like up here just last week. And I was like,
really?
I know the guys. And it's like, fuck, they're my friends. And it's like, what are you doing? Like,
so someone threatened firearms and the lineup in a dispute in the water?
Oh, this happens a lot up in Seaside and stuff. But this happened around my hood, dude. And it was, I was parked on the sand and a cop came up and blocked us in and was like questioning me. And I literally just put my bottom part of the suit on. And I was like, dude, I look like a fucking dry Pomeranian. Like I wasn't the guy, you know, like, I talked him out of like giving us tickets. He was like going to give us tickets for all this shit. Like my dogs on like all this crap. And it was like, so unlike what it's like here. And so like the repercussions of doing that crap, which I mean, hey, I used to partake. I am not going to lie. Like when I was younger, but I feel that shit just needs to stop. And just, dude, if you want to go surf by yourself, there, you know where to go. If you surf and you know your coastline, you know where to go.
Yeah.
There's a place, I know places in San Diego, LA, Santa Barbara. I can go surf by myself and it's fine. But
absolutely.
Yeah. You want to go surf Rincon? You know, you got to do it. You know?
Or Pleasure Point or the Hook or the Lane.
Oh, Pleasure Point. That's sad, actually. That's actually sad to talk about.
Yeah.
Shout out, Skin Dog. You're my man. But yeah, it's so sad because it wasn't like that. Like, you could surf like Rockview or like Sewers and Pleasure Point, and there wouldn't be very many people out. But now it's.
God.
I
am no shredder.
Pleasure Point? Didn't you just post? Was it?
Yeah. There's a
Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I live in Santa Cruz. Right.
Oh, sick. Yeah. I used to live in Live Oak.
Oh, right on. Excellent. Yeah. Cool. No. Well. There's a kind of a parody account called New Point Local, and it's you should follow it on Instagram. I don't know who the guy is. He's anonymous. In fact, I was hit up by someone in Capitola where I longboard. They were asked. The rumor was that I was the New Point Local posting that stuff behind the account. I said I'd love to take credit, but it's not me. But it's basically poking fun at, you know, the Silicon Valley influence, the sprinter life, you know, the Walden Magic models. And people just not really have an etiquette. But I tell you what, it certainly is not me, because if I'm to be honest with you, man, I've only been surfing about 9 years. I'm closer to a New Point Local. That is, I'm an import into Santa Cruz. I'm not loked out. You know, I pay property taxes now. But I'm one of those newbies
back in the day.
Right.
I'm not a fucking surf slum, dude. Like, it was like, seriously, like what you would expect, like Venice to be like during Dogtown. Like, that's what it used to be like not that fucking long ago.
That's what I hear.
And then it just went cuckoo, like Priuses and shit. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, dude, this is not, it's that's not the way. But hey, I'll tell you what, I was just down there last year and I still got waves by myself. Like, there's still waves to surf. If you want to go and go to places, I'm not going to say where, but if you want to go places, there's still places, you know?
I go north and south to the beaches to get my waves. And then also, I just, more often than not, the crew is so fun. I like longboarding over just at Capitola at sunrise.
Yeah. I had a picture in that magazine for me surfing Capitola. Here, I'll pull it up real quick.
Is that right?
You'll probably recognize it. I was just
what magazine?
That one, the Santa Cruz Waves magazine.
Oh, Santa Cruz Waves, Tyler Fox.
Yeah,
Santa
Cruz Waves. I had this one right here with the Capitola in the back. Can you see it? Hold on.
Oh, no shit. I can't see the damn resolution. Oh, wow. That's a Capitola?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you all right. Excellent. You got a Cheater 5 going.
Yeah, nice. So that, I think that was in there. It got put, I never saw it, but I just heard somebody say that. And then there was another one that at a break, I'll leave anonymous, but you'll probably know what it is. But that one was in, I think, I don't know. This one was in the paper. I think
that's a great picture.
That was in the paper. And then,
Who shot that for you? You have a photographer out there?
Yeah, I do. What's his name? You know what? I'll get back to you on that. I'd love to get that out, but he's a super good guy. If you post this, or like a snippet on your Instagram, I'll make sure to tag him in it, because
I appreciate that.
He's a good guy, and he was actually going to come up here, and because I have like a spot that I serve literally by myself. Like, my wife will like four-wheel drive down and drive up the beach, and it looks like a Hossegor, like Hossegor beach break. And it only breaks like during this like mid tide, like it has to go in or out at that mid tide, and it's mental. And I showed him a picture of it, and he's like, dude, I want to come shoot up there. But
well, good for you.
Yeah. We haven't done it yet.
So, when you, I appreciate your perspective on the surfing. I agree. I think people are assholes. I think just by nature, surfing is, a selfish act, right? Like, I feel it. You know, I find myself sitting in a lineup judging someone, especially if they drop in. I'm a patient guy, once, twice, three times. After a while, you're just like, dude, fuck you. And because, you know, this is a finite resource, blah, blah, blah. And you have that kind of passive aggressive, that kind of quiet aggression that's sitting out there
that's
in the lineup.
Weed, though. That's that weed, the people that smoke weed, like that's that passive aggressive, like they're like stoned and like, but they're just high as shit. And it's like, and they act like assholes, dude, you know, but it's like, I don't smoke weed anymore. But
yeah. Why not?
I don't know. I don't do drugs anymore.
Fair enough.
I had my fun, let's say. Yeah. I smoked enough weed to kill a dwarf every day. I'm good.
Your body, your choice. All right. Let me hit my, things. And then, I'm sure you'll have much more to add. Okay. Why is your nickname Eggnog?
Yeah. All right. So my grandma called me Eggie, when I was young, but what happened? So this is a shout out to my homie, Eric Derman, who actually, so the whole thing wasn't Eggnog. My buddy Eric did this logo.
Great logo.
Literally over 20 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and we were smoking the reefer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No, we were fucking high as fuck. But, and he had like a laundry room. I'm talking like literally like 4 feet wide, maybe 8 feet long. And my grandpa bought me two blank. So I wanted a Channel Island surfboard for my 20th birthday, I think it was.
Sure.
And freaking, my grandpa bought me two blanks and resin, glass, and like the basic hand tools, basically everything I would need just to make, I still have the little, spoke shave to this day. Yeah, I still have one of the tools still.
What a cool gift.
Yeah, and so I made my first two boards at my buddy and I were roommates in Santa Barbara. I had moved to downtown Santa Barbara, like Canada area. And we had this little laundry room, so we like cleared it out, put tarps down, built like this little it was on a ironing board. It was cheaper to buy the ironing board than it was to like build a rack and shit. And we didn't have much tools, like, you know? So, we did that. This is all come together. Don't worry.
No, so I'm all ears, man. Take your time. It doesn't even have to come together.
Eggie. So they didn't know like what, like Asperger's or like social disorders were when I was a kid. So like, I'll tell you the reason why my grandma called me Eggie, and, or like, yeah, some people did to other people, but I would get in fights like on the playground and stuff when I was a little kid. And so she always called me Eggie, like aggressive, you know? And, cause I didn't know, I can't read people's emotions very well. So but I've learned now like that, like I'm super mellow. I don't do that anymore. And, so we're making the boards in that little laundry room, and then it was like around Christmas. Okay. So, because my birthday is December 30th. And then it was just like, dude, this thing's a sick egg. And my buddy, Eric Derman, you probably know who he is. Maybe, I don't know. Some people.
I feel like the least popular guy.
He's one of my best friends. He's the coolest guy ever. And he's a filmer for a lot of guys, but, yeah. So he goes, hey, Nog. And then did this over like the course of a week. And so the first two boards didn't have the logo on it, but he like pinned it on. And then he did this because he was in film school with Brooks Photography. So he like had all the programs, like all that crap back in the day, which, you know, everybody has it now. But back then it was pretty hard to make a logo and stuff. And I've literally kept the logo. The only thing I changed now is I put the Oregon in the O. And then you see the boxing gloves.
That's the shape of the state of Oregon.
Yeah. And then the G's are boxing gloves. Like,
that's a cool logo.
Yeah.
I like that logo.
It's Terrence and Phillips related, South Park kind of too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of things going on there, but it's simple. Anyway. Eric Derman and myself kind of started it. And then, he was so busy with his like school and all that. So I mean, he's not a very handy guy. He's one of the best surfers I know. Sorry, Eric. but it was just me with the eggnog, and I ran.
Got it.
Yeah. And my first board order ever that was paid for, the guy never surfed a day in his life. The guy, it was a half inch too long than he ordered. And he said it wasn't right. And he and I'll tell you what, I kept that board. I traveled all through Central and South America with it when I moved to Costa Rica, I think 3 years later. I surfed it in Santa Barbara for a long time. I had that board for like 7-8 years, and it was sick. And my ex-wife keeping it when I but it's probably still alive to this day. And it was the sickest board ever. And the guy, my first order was a D9 because it was a half inch too long.
I love that about custom shapes. There's a shaper down here, Source, Nick Palandrini. And he made a board for my buddy Eric. I remember he ordered a 6.7 or something, and it came out, I don't know, 6.9 or 6.5. And I don't know. It's just kind of part of the uniqueness when it's delivered to you. It just is what it is as it comes out. You just got to deal with it. That's what makes it unique.
Got a good one. You ready? Go. All right. So leaders. Okay. I don't put dimensions on my boards anymore.
Right.
Learned that first board I ever made for a customer. And, but leaders, you know, people always ask me, oh, how many leaders I want this many leaders. It's like, dude, leaders only matter to not even the top 100. I'm talking like maybe the top 20 surfers in the world. Those leaders actually matter because it can be distributed in so many different ways. If you know anything about hydrodynamics or anything about surfboard building, like shapers all know it, but they just eat the shit, you know? And like the leaders, all that, like, yeah, I could make a 28 liter board and it's garbage. I can make a 28 liter board that's sick. So it doesn't matter. Like, you can make a 6.0 that shit. You can make a 6.0 that's sick. Like, it, and like width, like it all has to come together into one unit instead of like trying to like make this leaderage, which is like stupid. Like, you know,
it's like, relevant.
You want to know the leaders. Here's the width. Here's the length. And here's the thickness. Like, figure it out. If you're so fucking smart, like, there's you got everything you need. Like, you can do the math. Like,
it's kind of apropos, but we're talking about the firewires and the losts and the imports too. If I'm not working with a custom shaper and I'm relying on these national brands, then online it gives me an idea of what I could float on, and it becomes more or less a marketing term for somebody. rather than working with the shaper one-on-one, right?
Yeah, the epoxies, you're going to run way lower volume. But like you can make an epoxy like this thin for me, like, mm-hmm. it'll be like 1.5 inches thick, and it'll feel like a 2 inch, 2 1/4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends, but I just, you know, like I watched what happened to Kelly Slater when he started riding epoxies, and it,
right,
like he was ripping winning world titles, and he went to epoxies, and
yeah, he didn't do too well. And then he started riding polys again, but I think he still throws
his... J-Bay, and he was ripping at J-Bay on that poly. Right. There's a time and a place for epoxies. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, they can work, you know?
But, yeah.
I'm good. Like,
I like the heaviness of a poly. I like the damp feeling of it, too, and I like the durability of it as well.
I like the drive. Like, just like the... Yeah. I mean, yeah, but if you're like a John John or something that breaks fucking 300 boards a year, you know, like you need, like I was talking to John Pizel about this, like on Instagram, and I was like, why is he riding those red, like hollow, like carbon epoxy boards? He's like, cause he breaks like everything, and like he can't get used to a board because he breaks it all the time. So he has to, like, John has to have something.
Skirt!
Sorry, got disrupted there mid-conversation, and then we got right back into it, my man, Kyle Shellhammer.
Dub City, bitch.
The whole thing, I actually started working as a janitor in a shaping room, mm-hmm. and I would just, like, walk by these shaping bays, and I would see, like, a blank, and I would just go in there and solve it and fix it, and then make it super sick, and that's a good little hunting reference. Never mind. no, but I did work for some people, and I would always look at boards and be like, "Wow, I could be so much better." So there's like these things that are like impossible to fix. They're like, they just won't last. And like the point of them are supposed to last, but dude, I've had that board for like 2 years now. This board here was supposed to go to Mexico with me, and so is this one here,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't get them glass in time because I had orders to take care of. But
so those are your shapes,
right? These are all mine. Yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
This is my gun. This is the wave.
Ooh, that's a
board
that's
I a got. Gun. Apparently, I got like the biggest wave in Coos Bay on this board.
Damn.
Yeah, it was super sketchy.
What's the dimensions on that?
How tall is that? It's a 9.0.
Yeah.
No, I know.
That looks like a proper gun. Single fin too. Yeah, I love it.
Little moon tail. Like, ooh. I like the little baby moons on my guns. And then this board. So this is my explanation. So okay, that Slater Designs board, my buddy had it for 3 months and it was toast. And
yep.
comparable, the same. I've had this board for 5 years now.
Right. Right. And that's a poly.
That's a short board destruction that I've had for like 2 years. My buddy, shout out to Ammon for Bonham on Instagram. He's the man. He does the craziest art ever.
Check out. That is pretty. That is pretty crazy. That looks like a toy machine logo or something on the bottom of the skateboard deck.
Yeah, he's the man. He's the boss. He also did this painting for me.
Hey, that's pretty rad. Yeah. Hey, you like that little moon tail? Why do you like that moon tail? You have that on your big wave gun.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know. It just feels like it holds, I guess. And
yeah.
I mean, I like single fin guns. I don't know. I've had like quads, like when I lived in Maui, I'd surf like quad guns and stuff. And, I didn't like them. Like the single fin, just, I feel like it puts me right in the pocket better. Like,
right.
Same with like, I mean, my twin fins are okay. Like they're good. Like they still can set me in the pocket, but when I ride a thruster, I feel like it doesn't set me up where I want to be, you know?
Sure. And
with a single fin, it's like, I have this 1.610 that I ride a lot when it's bigger here. And it's like a teardrop. It's basically a bigger version of that thing. That one, it's like a teardrop, but it has a diamond tail on it. And that thing just somehow, every time I ride it, I mean, I usually ride it when the waves are like good and I need to get in early, but it just sets me right in the pocket. And then like, if I ride like a different type, like a smaller board, like a twin fin or something. It, like, I'm not right there. I'm more ahead and it's more like performance-y. So,
mm-hmm.
I kinda, and like with big waves, like you want to get barreled, right? Like,
right.
The whole point is like, it's not just to go, ah, I rode a big wave. Like, you want to get barreled at least, you know, or like, or be in like the crucial part of the wave. So, and I feel like the single fin puts you in the crucial part of the wave and still has the drive and hold for sure. Mm. So like thrusters, I don't even ride them anymore. Like, I mean, I have one, I have a couple, but, and I'll do it like if the waves are small and it's like, you know, rippy, like,
yeah,
I'll ride a thruster, but I'd really rather ride my fishes or like my twin fins.
I had a shaper, Stretch Rydell tell me, look me up and down. He knew my, my surfing ability or lack thereof. And he's like, yeah. You don't want a thruster. You're too tall. He's like, you're not going to load up and get power on that thing. Yeah. Stretch is a cool dude. You're not going to power, you know, you're not going to go vertical on a wave.
Like,
you
kidding? Stugs all day.
He tossed me a cigar. Yeah. We had a cigar in his shop. In fact, I went in there and I was looking for a more or less a hybrid short board. I kind of surf mid lengths for the most part. I like long boarding, and Ryan made me a really nice 6.0 Simmons that I really enjoy. But anyway, I described what I was looking for, and he took a long drag off his cigar, and he said, "You're not going to like my boards." I said, "Oh, really?"
Yeah. Well, he just made the mid length for Jonathan Wade Freeman or whatever.
No, he made it's called the midlife.
A midlife, there you go. Yeah. So I gotta get something clear here. So this mid-length thing,
yeah,
bro, they're eggs, bro. Like, right. So I'll tell you, when I started making boards 20 some years ago, everybody was riding chipped out shortboards or longboarding. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fact, and it's like proven, and you can, like, if you look it up and you go down your history, it's true. And Eric Derman and a couple other people from Santa Barbara will tell you it's true. I started making these single fin eggs and like twin fins and fishes, and then guess what, like Carolina started making them,
right?
They had that Rob Machado single fin. Shout out Rob Machado, you're the man, don't worry. But you know, they had that thing, and it was like, because all my buddies that surf really well were riding my like single fins at Rincon and San Diego and Cardiff. Like, I had friends from like Del Mar and like Cardiff, and then my Santa Barbara homies, and they surf really well, and that shit came relevant again, and it slowly started going, and I almost feel responsible for this mid-length crap, but it's not a mid-length. It's a fucking egg, dude. Like,
sure.
Like, you talk, tell George Greenough to his face that those things are mid-lengths, and he'll probably just laugh because they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's a mid-length? Like,
you and egg, bro. Yeah, it's more or less, sounds like to me just a marketing term, more or less, right? I mean, you and Joel Tudor are on the same page there.
Everybody's got a mid-length, like, you know, Paisel, dude, John, he's the man, peace. But he's from Santa Barbara too, if you didn't know that. Mm-mm. And he has a mid-length now as well. Mm. And they call him mid-lengths, and it's just like, fuck, dude. Like, I swear, like, it's like me and Joel Tudor are like the only people that are like, what?
Yeah. 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 I see Joel Tudor go to war on Instagram against that term. And, it doesn't rub me the wrong way, but then again, I don't have the history like you do in developing or being on the forefront of bringing those kind of shapes back, or at least being a comprehensive part of it.
All this came from like Ryan Dotson right there. That's Tex Wilson's board. That was like one of the first ever sunset guns, or like one of the first boards that wasn't a longboard, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I own it, which is pretty
nice. Bad. That is rad.
But Greenough, George Greenough was doing it before that. Like, he was, if you watch Limitless Limits Pure Fun, like, that was straight up in an era where guys were riding thick shit log, like almost reverse rocker long boards, you know, that are 60 pounds, and he was making his own foam. And like, I mean, he was shit. Like, he was doing it.
Mm.
the guy was okay. George Greeno was straight up doing vertical fin release snaps when guys were just like going like this on a
right.
on a wave. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I mean, yeah, there are some big hellmen like, you know, Pat Curran and all the like all the older boys that were charging on those big longboards, basically. Greg Knoll, rest in peace, buddy. But mm-hmm. he actually lived not too far. He lived like 3 hours south of me.
He ended up settling where up in Reading or somewhere City. Crescent City, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so like those guys, that was that people don't understand. Like that's the same era when George Greeno was like doing vertical snaps. You know what I'm saying? Like
God damn, you got a lot of surf knowledge. I don't even feel qualified to interview you, man. I don't even know what to ask you at this point.
Well, this is the thing. This is what I wanted to have like a long conversation about this with you because I want everybody to know. And I'm the kind of person that don't give a fuck if people talk shit about me. Like you can eat shit and die, man. I don't care because like I know that there's, and it's funny because I didn't have a lot of surf knowledge when I was young. Like when I moved to Santa Barbara, I knew like Tom Curran, but I didn't really know much. And I was like, 16, and I should have known a lot about him, you know, but, beer number two. So
good.
Here's another representation. This is one of my art pieces. So this is the death of surfing right here. See if you get it.
Let me take a screenshot of that. Hang on.
Yeah.
Stand by. 3, 2, 1. That's the death of surfing. Explain that piece to me. So, I see an A-frame. I see rocks.
And a person, the fucking devil, or like a, you know, pushing a wave, a wave machine.
Oh, it's a wave machine.
You get that?
That's it. Tell me more. What else do you know, man? Give me some more knowledge.
Well, all right. So there's a lot of history in surfing, but the most important thing I think with everything is that surfing was built on, well, you know, it was built on Aloha and Duke traveled the world. Like he was an Olympic athlete, dude. And he won gold medals and shit. And like, he went around the world spreading this Aloha and the surfing stuff to give joy to the world. That was his objective. And actually George Freeth doesn't get enough effort. Like he doesn't get enough claim.
Right. So
George Freeth is a guy, he's Irish and Hawaiian. And then he moved to Redondo and he kind of is like almost before Duke, you know. So George Freeth and Duke Conomoku are like the guys, like those guys, and they did it like they're, well, George Freeth was like a lifeguard and he saved, like I think he ended up dying saving people actually off Redondo Pier. I'm pretty sure that happened. So he spread the surfing thing too, and it was all about like, dude, a recreation activity, super fun, you know? Yes, it was sport of kings in Hawaii, like back, you know? But really when it spread around the world, it was just supposed to be fun and Aloha, and that was it. And so what it's turned to now is all these fucking rich kids grew up privileged and like with these egos and this like and this image that they want to portray that's like it's so false and plastic and it's just so like it's cringy. It's like man, like if you could just take a step back or these kids and like even like older guys like still do this shit and it's like, if you could just take a look back and look at yourself when you're acting that way, like hey, look, you surf better than them, just burn them. You don't need to like talk shit, act fight, like, you know, like burn them. And that's the best way to get rid of somebody in a lineup is just take off on them because they're out of there. Like, fuck, I got to go down there, I guess. And it's like, and that's
more often.
It's like, and I expect people to do that to me. Like when I go to certain places, like, I don't care. Like if they burn me, I'm like, sick, right?
I appreciate that. I appreciate etiquette. And I like that there's a little bit of social order there too. Not just to appease people's egos, the locals, but also it's also the safer route too. You know your place. I've been burned by better superior surfers, but chances are when I'm burned by superior surfers, that means I took off probably two inside of the curl, and they knew exactly where to take off. And you kind of you just learn something from that too. You know what I mean? You could have your feelings hurt, or you could say, "Fuck, I'm going to take off there next time."
Like, and that's another. That's a good point, because like, if you're such a good surfer, like, what are you worried about? Like, take off and you'll be right in the sweet spot. You'll be in the pocket. Like, you'll be in the right place. And if somebody burns you or whatever, you go around them or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's not even how it works. But really, I just think that people need to chill the fuck out, man. Like, look, a lot of people are going to start surfing. I mean, shit, we got this stupid show on TV now. The Ultimate.
I haven't watched it yet. The Ultimate Surfer. No. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I couldn't help it.
I can't stand it for television.
I'll tell you, it's chick drama, and it's hilarious. It's like, so yeah, it's like, it's funny, but it's just like, more and more, here we go again. It's just like one thing after another. Like, I remember I was doing, when I lived in Maui, I was working with Zach Howard and Tide Rivers.
Okay.
Surf lessons. And that Bethany Hamilton thing that came out with her Soul Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
And business went poof, like almost dead because of the shark attack thing. Because everybody watched it. But a lot of people started surfing because of it too.
Yeah.
But the lessons like went shit. But there also that year we had like 13 attacks and like a couple deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that people just need to relax and know that like surfing's sick. Like people are going to do it and they're going to catch on, you know, like you did, like, you know,
I did.
You're doing a podcast of surfing. I mean, you're passionate about it. Like people can get passionate about it. Like the first time they do it. Like I remember when I was a kid, the first time I surfed, I was like, that's all I want to do. That.
Yeah.
I played ice hockey too. Just random. Yeah, I know.
How often a week do you get out? How often do you get out in the water?
Probably. I mean, I try every day to be honest.
Good for you.
But I mean, here I can do that because like my coastline, it's like if it's north or south winds, that's offshore over here or over there. And there's like little nooks and crannies between that. So we're pretty blessed. Don't tell anybody, but no,
I know you're going to don't blow up your spot. Honestly, now. I don't want
to, if anybody wants to come up to Oregon, hit me up and come stay, hang out with me. I got a big house, guest rooms, a camper out back and a shaping room and a boxing gym. Like come hang out.
Outstanding. Do you box? Do you train?
Yeah, I do a little bit.
Yeah, shit. Good for you. And let me ask you another question. How's business for you right now? Are you backed out like six? Are you quoting 6 months on a board right now, or what's it look like for you?
Oh no, I just opened back up. I took some time off actually.
Got it.
I went to Hawaii. I visited my buddy Jamie Sterling. What's up?
Yeah.
He ordered a board and his client ordered a board, so I brought him out. Kind of paid for my trip. And then I stayed with my buddy Lope and hung out with those guys. And and then when I got back, I saw a swell, like kind of, it looked like a swell was going to kind of hit Mexico. So literally like 4 days after I got back from Hawaii, this is like April. I got back in April and then I went to Mexico like 2 weeks later. During that May swell, that whole shit show of huge swell, scored my nuts off. Like, it was the best surf trip of my life. I've I'm 40, so it's just like a trip to have like that at my age, you know?
Yeah,
It was pretty crazy. So when I got back from that, I kind of just took time off. I had a little money saved, and I was just kind of relaxing and like surfing and. Not really trying to do the responsible thing, but I'm back. Last week I kind of opened back up and now I'm getting busy. So I only have like one board order at the moment, but I opened
last
week and then, I got construction work going. I'm actually like doing a person's van. It's in my driveway right now. And
what are you doing right now? A van?
Yeah,
interior, not a van life.
Yeah, but it's not a freaking sprinter. All right, it's just a van.
What kind of work do you do?
What are you for kids and for camping? Yeah. It's not for surfing.
Understood. So what kind of stuff do you do? Are you a cabinet maker? What kind of stuff can you
do? I do. I've done a lot of work for like pot farms and like, even though I don't smoke weed, it's just weird, but
that's all right.
I build like pole barns or like little, I built a house. I built like a 3-bedroom house, a couple years ago, and then little cabins. And then around here, I do remodels, like everything from tile to windows, sliders, French doors, freaking pressure wash in your house. I don't like
no shit. Yeah,
got it. Contractor. So that's why I get to live in and own a house in like right by the beach.
You deliver boards down to California?
I do. I honestly, most of my boards are like either in like to Hawaii or Santa Barbara or Santa Cruz or San Diego. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot. So the thing is, the surf community is really small where I live. So I basically made like the first 3 years I lived here, I made everybody a board or two or three or six, you know, per person that surf that wanted a board for me. Like there's obviously the proud guys that only want to ride like Pizels or, you know, their little like, you know, Slater designs. And they always come into my dinger pair all the time.
Yeah.
So, but
that's good for ding business, I reckon.
Yeah, it's pretty much tap the market here. Like it's pretty much. Tell your listeners to hit me up if they want a sick board that's custom for them exactly. And like, and I'm really a good glasser, and I take a lot of pride in my glasswork. So
good, you do. So you're start to finish, man. Hand shaped. You do your own glassing as well.
Everything. Yeah.
Why not just throw an extra $200 on top of the board? I mean, that's my price and that's my price.
Oh, like, because they won't buy it, man. Like,
is that right?
It's that bad. Yeah. They're just like, oh shit, I'll just go get a FireWire then. I'm like,
maybe, I guess I'm just fortunate. Cause from my perspective, if I'm going to spend $900 on a board, I'd probably spend $1,100 on that same board too. I've already made that commitment, you know, approximately. Well, I
have customers here that pay me top dollar, you know?
Yeah.
But the problem is it's a small community and they're my friends, dude. And I love these people. Like, I love my community here in Coos Bay. Like, I really do. Everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, they're all business owners. Like, Carmen owns the brewery. Like, Lars owns the carpet cleaning. And other Lars owns the landscaping. And, like, we're all, like, friends. So, it's, like, Michael's the realtor. You know, he's trying to help me buy another house. And, like, it's
right.
So you want to hook them up, and it's like that here. Like there's, I feel like out of the water, there's more aloha here than like California, but in the water, it's pretty rugged, but not with us. Like we're all good, but when people come up here, we love having visitors. Like if we're at the brewery or at the beach, just hanging out, it's great.
Yeah. You say that now, but I mean, people used to say that in Idaho and Arizona and Nevada and shit, but after the pandemic, people are fleeing California.
Well, we're getting a lot of the influx from the fires. And COVID people, all the remote workers are.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the rent's cheap, but it's not anymore. And we bought our house. My wife and I bought this house just in time. Like, and dude, we would have been paying almost double if we
were
like during
COVID. For you.
Yeah, we got like, and so. If there's a lot of people coming up here and like they want to experience it, and dude, God bless you. You want to come up here and surf in 45 degree water with huge sharks and shit, man. Come on up.
Oh, I'd love to see you up there, man, for sure.
Hey, you're welcome anytime. You want to come up, call me, dude. You can have the sauna room, or we have two master bedrooms. So, but you can stay on the other master that we'd, it's just me and my wife. So
bedrooms,
come and a camper if you want to just be on your own.
Oh, I love it. God bless you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the invite. I love egg boards, by the way, too. Are egg shapes, are those your primary shapes? Is that the template from which you build your boards?
Dude, I don't know. They're just eggnogs. They're just weird. Like, I mean, they're not weird. It's just like, how do I explain my boards? That's a really good question. You're a good interviewer. no. So like, I don't make just eggs. Like I just make boards that like I take it personal with guys. I'll even like go surf with them before I make their board.
And right.
Oh shit. Like, cause I've surfed a long time. Like I can surf. Like,
yep.
I can surf a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and I know a lot about board design and like how it works and what would work for somebody. So I never had, other than the first customer ever out of like, what,
right.
I don't even thousand, I don't know how many boards I've made. I don't mark them. I don't care. But, a lot of boards I've made, everybody's been super psyched on them. So, yeah. And it's not like, yeah, I even make short boards for like my buddy here in Coos Bay, Dave, he gets short boards for me and he says they're like the best short boards he's ever had. And he's buying like, you know, Alamerics to Paisanals and M10s. Yeah. Like those were big here for some reason.
Yep. Are they? M10s big.
Yeah, they were super big here. And like, they see funny. Them all the time. And it's just so funny. But yeah, he really likes my short boards. And I'm not really a short board builder, but I can, you know. And basically, I just build whatever the hell you want, whatever makes you happy.
Right. Like, Kyle, who's doesn't have to be a mentor, but who's a shaper that you admire and you took something from and really helped you prepare your shapes?
That's a good one. So I gotta give a shout out to Damien for one. Damien and Olaf, because I live with them in a container when I started shaping, and they're badass shapers. But Matt Moore and Carb.
Okay.
Huge inspiration. And then, I mean, George Greenough. And well, I'd say Bob Duncan, because I was friends with his son, Al, but Bob Duncan, George Greenough, Matt Moore. Wayne Rich. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wayne, Uncle Wayne, dude, if you watch this, I'll send it to you. But yeah, Wayne, Uncle Dan here, Dan Matthews in Coos Bay. When I got here, he would help. He had the FC or the Future Jig, and I didn't have that mm-hmm. yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had to like get everything over again when I moved out of Maui, because you can't shave in Maui. It's too expensive. Yeah, Dan Matthews helped me a lot. That's Carmen's dad, who owns the brewery here.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of people like, shit, even my buddy, like Ed and shit, like everybody kind of was a part of an influence of how this whole thing went. And, yeah.
There's a lot of influence, and you seem to be a guy who's, you got an open mind. You're really attuned to the zeitgeist of this whole surf culture, where it's been and where it's going, where it is right now.
It's going to shit, but
it's going to shit because of the imports, you say?
Oh, not as that. Just mostly just the attitude and like,
yeah,
it's just getting strange. It's like, it's not really fun anymore for, I mean, it is for us up here still, you know, and like in some places in the world, but I feel like Santa Cruz and like Santa Barbara and like LA and San Diego, Orange County, especially like shit's just getting a little out of hand. Australia has been like that for a long time, but they made it work. Like it's pretty heavy there. You know, there's only so many like breaks. And sometimes when you live by a place, it's all you got. And that's a quote from somebody that when I moved here, he's like, dude, this is all we got. And that's true. Wherever you live, it's all you got. So you do get that way, but I feel like there's better ways to go around all that. And I think just more positive vibes, just be psyched and who cares? Like, if you're so damn good at surfing, then why do you give a fuck about that kook that can't surf? And calling them kooks is like, whatever. Not as a person, it's just as they can surf. Cause I think a lot of the people that can't surf are like way less kooks than people that rip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know very few. I know a lot of pro surfers and like I know a lot of the people in the industry. There is very few and of people that are really legit. Jamie Sterling is high on that list of one of the fucking coolest guys ever. Big wave world champ, like super legit, like really good friend of mine, dude. And there's a couple others, but not a lot, dude. Not a lot. It's so weird.
What board you riding these days? What was the last board you rode?
I rode this one here. That one right there. That 20.
That's the 20. That's rounded
6'4" nose rider. So
yeah,
it's like it has like a spoon in the nose. Like
6'4" nose rider. Yeah, but, you know, that's pretty thick. I like that.
Spoon in the nose.
So you got a 6'4" nose rider. I've never seen a spoon nose like that. That's pretty unique.
And it's got really big, like double barrel. That's actually shout out Jamie Sterling again. He wanted that. And I do stuff like that. Like I've done that before, but the first board I made, I did that, like that big double barrel out of the tail, and he loved it. And when I went to Hawaii, I rode it the whole time. Basically I surfed it at like 6 to 8 foot sunset one day. And it was a twin fin, like a 6'10" twin with that big and then when I went there, I that's why I rode his old one. Is I made him a new one. I didn't do that. And he's like, dude, you gotta keep that double barrel, that, and it just make it livens it up. And
shapers
take everything you can get from everybody.
Right.
It's like, I'm telling you, it's better than channels. It's
double barrel.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just something about it. Like a double barrel with like a double concave through the whole board. And then I do like a single concave in the nose, like a spoon nose and like short boards. And it lifts the nose up. So like you can get away with less rocker. Like you can take steep drops, and it has like the little chime underneath. So it literally will just be like, bink, come out of the water.
Cool.
Like you can just commit to like a late drop and like totally like look like your nose dive, like poking taco, and then it just goes
sick. I love that sensation. Like Rocky's a good example. I don't surf Rocky too often, but I've taken some steep drops, and I swear to God, I'm so confident I'm going to pearl the fucking board. And then when you land that and you make it, you shoot down the line, that's one of the best feelings imaginable.
Yeah. My buddy, do you know Tyler Conroy? He's a really cool guy.
Looked out here. I'm a kook, man, out in this town.
No, if you see him, he's a super good guy. Like, shout out to him and Svana. They just had a baby and they're like killing it. But
good.
Yeah, I surfed Rockview, and I surfed sewers with that guy on like one day that was just so killer. Sewers are just like barreling, and there's a lot of people out, but me and him were getting all the waves. And
yeah. It usually comes down to a handful of guys getting all the waves out there. I'm rarely among them.
It was funny because it's like they, like I don't like when you get a good wave and then like some guy like comes up to you like, oh, that wave was sick. Like I hate that shit.
Why is that?
I don't know. I hate it. Like I don't want to talk. Like I'm just like, dude, I'm like, this is like my church, dude. Like I don't want to like tell you that. Yeah, that was a sick one I got.
It doesn't hurt to hear it though. Come on, don't lie.
I don't like it.
All right, fair enough.
If you're in the water, don't tell me it was sick. Just say you suck.
All right, people like this. I got two last questions. I'm gonna let you go, and then I want to have you back on because I feel like I wasn't even prepared. You're such a fucking wealth of knowledge, man. I'm going to come back for a history lesson with you one of these days,
That's what I was thinking. I was like, dude, are we doing like a Joe Rogan 3-hour podcast? Because I got a whole story that blow your mind sideways.
Right? Okay, let's do that. Let's do that in a couple weeks. I'll have you back on. I want to hear that whole story.
Like, there's a lot of crazy shit that went on in my life.
All right, let's arrange that. Let's arrange that. But before then, I want to ask you two questions. First one, when was the last time you were legit scared in the water? Like you were spooked, like you were in over your head.
Well, this was actually when I was in Puerto Escondido just a couple months
ago.
And so I've never surfed Puerto Escondido before. I've never went down there because I knew it was kind of like after 2006, the contest, I knew it was like crowded and then like Porto got blown up. So I just never went down there. And then this year I saw this big swell and I was like, fuck it, I'm going. And
good for you.
Yeah. So that wave was the scariest. Actually, to be honest, I surfed Vara on the biggest day of that swell, when like guys were getting like 30 foot freaking megatons at freaking Porto. I was at Barra with my buddy Jonathan Duarte. Shout out. He let me stay with him. He's Jamie Sterling's neighbor.
And, all right.
And he let me stay with him. And so when he picked me up from the airport, we went to this place that we had a four-wheel drive into because everything was closed because of COVID. So they had like gates on most of the breaks. But we went to this one point and it was just firing. We surfed for like 4-6 hours or something by ourselves, no one there. And then we stayed at my buddy John's ex-girlfriend's parents owned this hotel in Huatuco. Super nice place. Like one of the nicest places, really. It's super sick. Ooh. And we woke up in the morning, we get to Barra, and it's okay. So I'm going to talk Hawaiian size. So this was 12 to 14 foot Hawaiian. We were the first ones to attempt to paddle out and the only two to make it out. And I was riding a 6'6", that one actually, that board. Other board, I even broke that one, but I fixed it. But I broke every board I brought there. I have 5 boards gone. But
damn.
So, but that one, just the leash plug and then a little extra. But so when I was sitting out, like once we got out, like literally, I swear to God on my life, dude, it was a 30 to 50 wave set of 12 to 15 foot waves.
Oh my God. Max. Hawaiian size.
20 plus faces at Barra. And if you've ever served Barra, when you're sitting like behind the rock and there's like another little like section behind that you look at before you take off.
Okay.
It looked like death. Like
yeah,
my fucking house would fit in these things. And it was like so heavy. And my buddy got like after that 30 wave set, he got one. And then I got the second wave of that set and I skiddy pat, pat, pat. And I got back out, but he got washed in. He didn't wear a leash, dude. He's like, he's psycho.
He went leashless out there.
No, he didn't wear a leash. And then I got another one and then I went in and I borrowed his 7.3. And then I got one where I was scared. Actually, kind of. Mm-hmm. I was scared at the beginning, but when I had a 7.3, I didn't feel too bad. But I took off behind the rock and I was pumping like as fast as I could go, and then it like barreled like behind the rock like it does that one section, and then like it like went further and I was like shit, and then I finally like came out and then like I didn't even know. I was just like fuck, it was so like it was way too, I was a little too deep really.
Right.
I was scared. I thought I was like, fuck, if I fall right now in this barrel, I'm going to land on the rocks.
On the rock. Right.
Yeah. But Porto, like that's the heaviest thing I've seen
before. Right. Yeah. I don't have any interest in that anymore.
I'm done with Porto.
No, that doesn't sound fun at all.
I'm lying.
You're going to get out?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to surf again. But I'm just saying, it's like, yeah, I just need to go there again and like get a little more comfortable with the place.
Yeah.
It's a little, yeah. I need like an impact vest at least, you know?
All right. When was the last time you cooked it?
Never done that before.
All right. Fair enough.
I don't know. Fuck. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. Oh, wait. Let me think. Okay. So let's get the ego out of the way. Let me think.
Yeah.
I wore a leash at Lanikea. And like, yeah, I felt pretty kooky because it was only like 3 to 4 foot.
Right.
It was like, I don't know, like 8 foot faces or something. And I wore a leash on an egg and I felt pretty stupid. I was really familiar with the wave. So I just did it. And then, yeah. And
so your kook moment is that you wore a leash on a wave with an 8 foot face.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not really like you don't. Okay, I get you there. But it's like one of those ways you don't, it's like wearing a leash at like Malibu longboarding or like Mama in Maui longboarding. It's like forbidden. Like you
got it.
Mala's 6-8 foot. Like you still, you get talked to if you wear a leash longboard.
Got it. I didn't see that answer coming, but that's an interesting one.
That was like, and then my buddy Jamie called me out on it and I was like, shit. So I didn't wear a leash the rest of the trip.
All right.
I lived in Oahu when I was 18 and I had I'll save that for the next podcast, but I had a crazy brain injury and all kinds of shit.
All right. I'm writing down brain injury, Oahu and kidnapping. And I want to have you back on. That'd be a great teaser for the listeners.
Gun dealing and gun smuggling too.
Guns. Okay, great. Gun smuggling and gun dealing. You threw a lot at me and I appreciate it.
Dude, there's so many things I want to just say to people and like, just chill the fuck out, man. Like it's all good, dude. Like this, all this shit was founded on aloha. Like just cruise. Like, dude, don't get over yourself. Like, don't get ahead of yourself. Like just cruise. Like, dude, yeah, there's kooks in the water that can't surf, but those kooks are probably better people than you. And that's the point I try to get across to people. It's like, dude, yeah, just because you surf better than these guys that can't surf and they're in your way and everything, that guy's probably like the nicest dude, best work ethic, came from nothing. Most surfers, not all, but a lot of them came from pretty wealthy families that cater to their every need, especially if they're good. Their parents just were, a lot of them that I know from experience, their parents inherited money, so they didn't really work, so they just took their kids surfing and shit all the time. Mm-hmm. And their parents surfed as well, and like, and that's how you get that to that point. Like, you know, like Andre de Souza, like what a great story, like coming from Bella's, like, and doing it on his own, like that's legit.
Yeah, you know?
Like,
and I bet he's a sweet guy.
Emotionally crazy, but probably the coolest guy in the world, like, you know. And he's got a story, you know, and it's like Italo didn't come for much, like he did it, and it's like, and everybody hates on the Brazilians and like this, that, and it's like, bro, like, I mean, other than like a couple, like, a lot of these people didn't come for much. And Kelly Slater came from not a lot, and he was in Florida, like of all places. So like, you know, you got to give respect where it's due. And that's what I try to explain to people. It's like, dude, you don't know where that guy you just yelled at came from. That guy that's in the Coast Guard, he probably went to the Coast Guard because he didn't have fucking family or anything to do. He couldn't afford college or like couldn't do something. And like, he's in the Coast Guard and now he's surfing here. Like, who cares?
That's a good one to end it on, Kyle. God bless you, dude. I appreciate it a lot.
All love, everybody.
Yeah, let's keep in touch.
For sure.
And thank you for joining my Kooky podcast, dude. People will hear your message, and I appreciate you sharing it.
Is this going to be on Kook of the Day now?
I'm not that famous.
Right on. We should do a three-way with Jonathan Wayne Freeman. I think we'd feed off each other pretty heavy.
You two both have a hell of a lot more to say than I do. And I appreciate what you've said today. Thank you, Kyle. Let's talk soon, okay?
Hi, brother.
Whew. That was a conversation. I learned a lot, but I learned it so quickly, I think I forgot it all. So I want to have this guy back. Kyle wants to talk about, among topics that I want to have him back in maybe in a month or so, he wants to talk about brain damage, gun smuggling, and a kidnapping. So the guy's lived some life, and I think he has a lot to say, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. MidlifeSurfer.com if you'd like to donate or just stream these episodes off your desktop, and of course, TimberSurfCo.com if you want to support a live local Santa Cruz shaper by the name of Ryan Lynch, who's making the world a better place with every surfboard that he produces. That's all I got for you. Thank you for joining me. God bless you, and peace. Peace.
Hey bitches, here's how it is. This bitch is back.
Yeah, bro.
This bitch is back. Dope City bitch, this bitch is back.
The depths of Santa Cruz.
This bitch is back.
Yo, Pierre, you wanna come out here?
This bitch is back.
Be kind to one another.
This bitch is back.
I am so
Dub City bitch. This bitch is back.
Yeah, buddy.